The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA pod, we're back. Took a little break. I think it's nice to get a week off. I did have a few people actually, Dylan, and you'll be shocked by this, text me and be like, where's the upload? First time in my life that's ever happened. So shout out to
demand.
Exactly. He was like, where is the scheduled upload? You guys are doing a great job of being Monday, Tuesday for the past couple of weeks. And I was like, you know, I like to give my guys a day off here and there. You don't want to work them too hard. You got myself, you got Dylan on the pod. We're back. There was a little international break. We obviously want to talk Team USA and just utter dominance. That might be a little bit aggressive, but it feels great over Mexico. And give you a preview of the Premier League games that are forthcoming. Dylan, first things first, how you doing? How you been? What's going on?
We're good. Coming off of a week of probably realizing I'm not good at betting on basketball and watching March Madness.
Yeah.
My bracket literally was, this is what, the first time it's been chalk in probably forever. And it was very much the one year I was like, screw it, let's go nuts with it and throw. I'm pretty sure I came very close to having Mississippi State in the Final Four, which, you know, really turned out well. So we're firing on all cylinders. I need soccer.
I had a few of that too. I do feel like you built up your bankroll just to have it be diminished by basketball, essentially. I can only imagine. I'm assuming, did you go out and watch some of the games with your crew at all?
Yeah, we went out on Saturday.
So this is the thing that I've learned when you hang out with Dylan and you're betting a little bit, because what was that, like week five of the college football season? There is a moment where you're throwing bets back and forth. Dylan, you're obviously a little bit more seasoned and tenured in this than I am. I think in my head, I'm making like knowledgeable, like I'm trying to throw knowledge darts out there to make some solid bets. It comes to a point, and I don't know if it's beer three or beer five, somewhere around there. I do feel like there's always a time where I'll make eye contact with you and you go, well, what if it gets a little weird? And then there's a couple of bets out there that I'm like, I don't know why the fuck I threw this in here, but it's in there now. It's like, all right. Penn State, that trip, I remember looking at my, like, my receipts on bets and I was like, why did I chase this game?
Your weird bet that clearly didn't work was I took Colorado before the play-in game to make the Final Four at plus 130,000 to 1. Why? So it was a $3 bet to win like $370. And I thought we were right there to get him in a Sweet 16. We were so close.
Hey, sometimes you got to take the Flyers. It's the best way to do it and not the Philadelphia version, obviously. Speaking of, I just want to tell you, too, congrats.
Thank you.
Rangers clinched playoff spot already.
Clinched, first one to clinch a playoff spot and still a chance that we end up finishing like fourth in the conference. So let's see what happens.
Yeah. Hockey, it is a fickle beast. All right. We're going to dive in. We got Dudes of the Week. We're going to talk Team USA. We're going to give that preview. It'll be a quicker episode. Dylan, I'll be the gracious host. I'll have you lead us off Dudes of the Week. We're going to do a two set and then jump right into the U.S. Jamaica, U.S. Mexico games. Give me who you got.
My first Dude of the Week is rule changes. And I'm not talking about the NFL and the kickoff and whatnot, but more offsides and how many more goals we're going to have and people not realizing that the rule changed. I'm assuming you saw this, or do you need to explain it? Okay.
No, well, explain to the listeners, may not have. Give an overview.
I said that it's my job to explain it. So
great podcasting.
But ultimately, I think there's a lot of goals that actually would have happened this year that obviously changed games. Of the offsides will now be based off of, it's kind of a hockey offsides with the blue line of, it's the last part of your body past, I forget how they describe it, but essentially it's a shoulder. It's not the arm or whatnot. But like, if you have a foot behind someone's full body, but your head's above, which how many times have we seen that being called offsides? It would actually,
I would describe it as, it's the last part of your body that can conceivably score a goal being off. So your shoulder's okay. head's okay. I don't know who's running like this, but like your foot, leg, you know, it, not your arm, not your hand. Those cannot score goals. So it is the last part of your body that can score a goal if it is behind the defender. You're Gucci.
I'm sure VAR won't ruin this, but at the moment, I actually don't hate this rule, so I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just brought up the exact point is like when you were talking about having to have actual space in between the defender and the offender to call an offsides, and now we have to start deceiving body parts. Deciphering body parts is a better word. I'm a little worried. I'm not going to lie. I think it's a great rule, but the only way this works is if we bring in that World Cup automated offsides technology and we are able to figure it out that way. I am, and Liverpool fans will agree with me, I don't have faith in them calling offsides or getting it correct. So I just want to throw that out there. But like a rule change, you know?
Yeah. You know, this is a tomorrow problem, so who cares?
Yeah, let's keep chefing it off. All right, my first do of the week. I gave you a preview of it before we jumped on. Dylan, I'm gonna suck up to you even more. Thanks to Wolves, thanks to you, getting Haji right on form against Coventry in the FA Cup. He was able to bag two goals against Jamaica so that we could move on, which talk about a Jekyll and Hyde, you know, international break for Team USA. But Haji Wright played a big role in that first one. Don't win the first one. You don't get to beat Mexico for the 18th time in a row or however many it's been. Do feel bad. Dos Acero, absolutely. I do feel bad though. I was liking the Cinderella run by the Wolves. I was into it. Coventry also into the Cinderella run, but you know, we'll see what happens.
More time to focus on top seven. Is what I'm telling myself.
There's always a silver lining. And then my second dude of the week, as we'll snake draft two picks, which I don't know if it's actually how you should be doing it, but you got to go Tyler Adams. Welcome back. Back from injury. And then an absolute howitzer from I don't even know where the fuck he shot that from. I joked in our chat that it was Caitlin Clark distance to pander to all the women sports fans, but it was deep. And I've never seen him actually do that. So, you know, welcome back and a little dangerous in that midfield. The midfield's getting crowded, I will say, and it'll be a tough decision. Exactly. That's the problem we need to have. It'll be a tough decision for whoever is our coach during the World Cup, you know. But it was impressive. So Tyler Adams, welcome back. Great goal. Great win.
I say, happy to see Tyler Adams back. It was the epitome of Tyler Adams. I wasn't familiar with your game in terms of, like, obviously we know he's a stud. I just didn't know that he had Ruben Neves banger stud in him in terms of from outside the box.
Also, I did tell you guys, I'm sitting on the couch. Alexis is next to me. She's not paying any attention. I see him kick it, and like, I didn't say it out loud, but internally I'm like, oh man, that's kind of dumb. Why are we doing this? It goes in, and I literally just go, holy shit, holy shit, holy shit. Like, that's the only reaction I had. And then I told you guys, I literally went to my phone. The first thing I did was Instagram message Craig, our friend from Bournemouth, and just be like, yo, I know that you're asleep because it's 4 a.m. there, but you're going to wake up to a pretty sick Tyler Adams goal. Took him 2 days to respond, which I'm not going to hold it against Craig. He's probably pretty busy, but he did respond in a typical British way, or a way that he just does not give a shit about Team USA, obviously. And he was just like, yeah, I hope you can do that for the Cherries. And I was like, thanks, Craig. Thanks, Craig. So reaching out to other pods for a Tyler Adams goal. Sorry to cut you off.
No, you're good. Paramount Plus just froze right when that was happening. So when you said, insane. Shit, I was like, I'm assuming we scored, but Paramount Plus sucks and I can't do anything about it right now.
I would actually, before you do this again, I this will be the last time I cut you off. You've been watching MLS at least a little bit?
Yeah.
Because of Philly? No one touches Apple.
No, it works perfect.
It's the greatest streaming platform out right now.
YouTube, I have Hulu, but YouTube, just because the split screen has my heart a little bit.
Yeah,
but
YouTube TV, we have that too.
But in terms actually streaming, because like, even when I'm watching Champions League, it pauses all the time. And I'm just like, what is this bullshit? I hate it.
Exactly. So not that they need it, but, you know, shout out to Apple. Sponsor the pod. We'll make that
the next dude of the week. I don't know. I guess we'll keep it USA related and just say he needs some love, specifically when he goes back to the club team. But Gio Reyna, like, I think we have our own opinions, and I know we go back and forth as we talk about it, but I don't think it's undeniable that he has the most talent of anyone on our team. And
yeah,
he is our playmaker, and I wish Nuno would play him more. I don't know what's happening there. We'll figure that out at some point, but hopefully he gets minutes leading into the actual World Cup and he puts on a show in Copa and goes to the right place. But Team USA goes as he goes, in my opinion, at this point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. And, you know, dudes of the week done, and we can transition right into the Jamaica game and then the Mexico game. You know better than me, but watching him play this past weekend, because we were texting about this, I think Berhalter has him set up way too deep in a couple of these games, and we were saying that. And then when he went forward, he created one of the goals for the Jamaica game, and obviously was a huge impact in the Mexico game. We need him more forward. But the thought that I had, and like I said, you'd be able to answer this better, is Nuno just a bad coach? Like, does he just not know?
I don't know. I don't think he fits into Nuno's style. Like, it's something where we were on the rumor.
Why buy him?
But I don't disagree with that. But, like, we were rumored, but it was never going to happen. But, like, not to give, you know, Gary O'Neill some more how much I was talking about. But, like, with how everyone that we have on the Wolves is an attacking player that we want driving at defense and going at it, like, he would fit perfectly into that, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not saying 9 and 4 doesn't do that, but like Nuno is more be sound on defense and then we go forward and we try to do the counter. And he needs to be more free flowing. And I think it's tactically, it doesn't fit into the plan. And maybe that's what the issue is.
Yeah. I could see that being the total issue. I just, for me, a team that's now in the relegation zone because of the points deduction. Yeah. You'd think someone that can create. I would think would be a great person to have in there. All right, let's do this. US 3, Jamaica 1. There was a goal in the first minute for Jamaica. The US took all of 90 plus 6 minutes to get the equalizer. It was the last kick of the ball, essentially, an own goal off of a corner. Matt Turner was pushed all the way up. We're going to go to extra time.
Philadelphia Union player, ex-player too, by the way, helping us out.
Well, with the header off of his head?
Yep.
Yeah. I will say this though, what's his name again? Andre Blake.
Yeah, he's very a good goalie. Keeper. Yeah,
very good is. Keeper. We get two in extra time to put it away. It was a Haji Wright double in the 96th minute and 109th minute. Shocking at halftime, or not at halftime, before extra time, they asked the panel. I think it was Dempsey and Charlie Davies, like, what's your prediction? And all of them kind of said U.S. looks tired. I felt the total opposite way. I said, there is no greater letting the air out of a balloon than what just happened to Jamaica. And I feel like if you get one goal, you're good to go. US 2, Mexico 0, the big one. Adams with the howitzer in the 45th, like I mentioned before, and Reyna in the 63rd, put Mexico away. I'll say this, and Dylan, I want you to jump in first. It was a tale of two games, to be totally honest with you. It was pretty disappointing in the first one. Second one, a lot of good things. My biggest critique is going to be shocking, but let's have you lead us off. How are you feeling after these two?
Indifferent at this point. I don't think it changes anything. Like, this, if we have any Mexican fan listeners, shut your ears. You're not going to be happy about what I'm about to say. But, like, yeah. The expectation is we're beating Mexico. At this point and where we're at, going off of the last, what, 3 years we haven't lost to them at this point? Mm-hmm. Like, we own Mexico. We own CONCACAF at this point. And it shouldn't be something that Greg should be judged on. Like, yeah. This summer should judge where we actually are at, as opposed to, like, who we're playing CONCACAF. I expect us to win. I think the other takeaway before getting into, like, player stuff and things like that is, right now, I feel like we are literally in a European or mid-table team in the Premier League, in the fact that Mexico came at us a little bit, and when we play teams that are better than us, that are gonna come at us, we can play with them because it becomes more of an open game and allows us to do our thing. As opposed to Jamaica in the low block. Oh, like, I don't, not that I don't think we can break it down. I don't think Greg tactically knows what to do with that, and that's the other problem.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think, one, we this is an only losing scenario for the future managers, because now we have enough talent. We're playing these CONCACAF games. If there is a big loss, it's a way bigger loss. And if you win, you're supposed to win. And I think that's where you got to get to, especially when you are the nation in this CONCACAF region that is the biggest and should have the most talent, to be quite frank. It's where we need to get. I think that there's some weird choices that he's making. I mentioned how deep Gio was getting with the ball and basically playing like, I don't even know, it's just not a deep line playmaker. It was like being kind of a sweeper essentially at times, which I don't necessarily like. Like, to your point earlier, having someone run and put pressure on people and drive at defenses is, I think, where he makes the biggest impact. And we want to get our players in the areas where they're going to make the biggest impact. My critique, though, which I'm going to sound like a crazy person, and I'd love to get your reaction. We gave up one goal. It was in the first minute, kind of fluky, against Jamaica. The back line still doesn't feel the greatest it could be.
So I don't disagree, and I know why they're doing it, but I feel like we have to set up for the World Cup at this point, right? Like, we need mm-hmm. to get people ready. I think Tim Ream's great. I think he should be on the squad. He's a great locker room guy, all that type of stuff. Unfortunately, the more he plays, I don't think it gives us as solid of a back as we need. Like, Miles Robinson, or I don't think, what, Vickers is injured or not in camp, or
yeah,
maybe he was, I don't know. But like, those other pairings, I think, need to be playing together to figure out what that pair is. Like, ultimately moving forward, it's getting the proper center back duo and figuring out actually who our striker is what needs to do it. Because the depth in midfield's there to the point where two or three people that I think should be starting aren't going to play. But I think that's great from a versatility standpoint of, we can actually adjust to whoever we're playing. If we need to be more defensive in midfield, or we're going to go for it type of thing.
Yeah.
So I know I kind of went a different after answer, but I don't disagree. I think the defense still looks a little shaky, but it's more, and again, nothing against Tim Ream. I just think we need more of those younger guys playing together and figure out what the pair actually is.
Yeah, so it's shaky in the sense that I think there's a lot of chances given up or chances created by some weird decisions or mistakes that literally come with playing more. I don't want to take Chris Richards out. I think he's actually going to be the future center back in there.
I like Miles Robinson too, to be honest.
Yes, exactly. But they got to play together. And I think that's the biggest thing. Ream, to your point, dude, can you imagine having the career he's had where not even on the radar, and now for the past, what, 8 years or 6 years or so, he's on this team and been the key part. He's been a captain. Please hire him as an assistant if he wants it. But it is that back line. And I never, because you know he's kind of a knucklehead at times, but like, having Dest back in for that Mexico game honestly allowed the shape to change moving forward, so much so that you could rely on Adams being back in defense. Now, when he came out, here's my second critique. And again, I think it's the same type of thing. I think Johnny Cardoza is going to be great. He's got to play more in camp. Like, got to play more, because he, much like the center backs, looked like, I just need more minutes.
But, and you're right, the problem is Reyna and Adams are both basically not match fit for how much they've been playing. And I think it's just a tough camp of like, we need to get these guys up to speed as well.
Oh, for sure.
But even like Musa sitting, like, it's just interesting, like, what decisions actually get made there. And like, when you talk about our wingers, our like right and left backs and all that, is we have two like amazing right and left backs that have speed, are happy on the ball, and completely change the shape too, where like a Pulisic or Way and all that. Like, I think that's the other thing we need to figure out, because Dest and Robinson come so far up the pitch where I think Weah wants to be more on the outside at this point, and so does Pulisic, that in a sense we're getting more bunched up than actually overlapping runs is the other problem.
Yeah.
And it's a good problem to have, but it's something they need to figure out.
It is almost like inverting the fullbacks maybe a little bit once you get up the pitch. I don't know how comfortable Jedi, which Michael will love hearing, likes playing more in that gap where it's like he's further off that sideline and has to sit in there. I think you put Sergiño Dest anywhere on a field, he's like, oh yeah, cool, I can figure this out. It'll be interesting to see how they do that. I totally agree. The biggest critique, obviously, in that Jamaica game is being able to score. You mentioned earlier, who's our striker? What's your take on this right now? Where do you think we need to be?
I mean, I think it's something where you need to play whoever's in form, which I know is such a cop-out answer, but it's something where, like, when Haji got the start against Mexico, I feel like Twitter was freaking out, but like, are you kidding me? All this type of stuff. But if you look at, he's the most informed striker that's actually on the roster. Like, Balogun's the name, but he hasn't been doing as much this year as he did last year when we got him. Like, Pepe's playing well, but I think it's something where it depends. Again, I think it's a matchup thing. It's not a bad problem to have. And he didn't really get into the game, but I also think his job was to basically just disrupt on overhead balls on the Mexican defenders and let them basically tackle him every single time we got a free kick at that point. So, which no one's going to give him credit for is the other thing.
And that's the thing. Like, I want to give him credit for it. I also kind of want to, and it's a low bar, and I've had this bar set before. That's not usually a Berhalter tactic. So shout out to him. You know?
He's evolving. Again, we said it, and we don't have to harp on it. This whole thing, it's like, it's great to win, great to be a three-peat. It doesn't matter. We're about to find out in about, what, 4 or 5 months where we actually stand. Like, we have to play some actual tough competition at is CONCACAF on steroids in terms of the shenanigans we're going to be going against too and all that. So CONCACAF-y and Comebol-y coming together. And I know I said that wrong, but it's more fun to say it that way.
It is. And honestly, man, I'm at the point now where I do know that there's a few more micro nations in CONCACAF that, you know, Trinidad and Tobago being a bigger version of that, that it's important for them to play. I would love just a full merger. Let's go college football on this. Let's just be Western Hemisphere for a lot of these. I want to be in the Gold Cup every year. Or what's
Copa
it called?
America.
Copa America, sorry. I want to be in Copa America every year. Or I want to invite them to the Gold Cup. If we do that, though, we got to stop bringing our C team out. That'll be bad. But I'm excited for it. This is the first time, maybe in our lifetime, that we're going to line up against some of these South American countries. And I'm excited, honestly, win, lose, or draw, because I would just want to see where actually we're at.
Yeah.
Like, I want to understand.
It's the best benchmark we're actually going to have going into a World Cup cycle that we've had in a long time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it might be great, and it might be the world's on fire, but at least we know.
Yeah, at least we have more information. I totally agree. All right, that was the biggest thing with Jamaica. Let's do quickly to Mexico before we do our predictions here. You mentioned it. The biggest issue Mexico's having right now is they have maybe two or three people on their team that are playing outside of Liga MX. They are not producing the talent like they used to. I think I was listening to someone earlier today that was like, hey, my friend asked me, who are the big people on Mexico you got to watch out for? And the guy who knows soccer very, very well was like, I didn't know how to answer it. It was like Santi Jimenez and then Chucky Lozano. But like after that, these are kind of not people I'm as familiar with. So,
and Ochoa's like Peter Pan. I feel like he's been their goalie for like 40 years. So
Yes. I did tell Alexis, I was like, that man in goal is like 40. He's 38. But she was pretty shocked by that. But I will say, like, we're winning a battle on the field, but it feels like we're also winning a battle getting people out of country. And then there's a lot of dual citizenship going on, and we've been kind of kicking their ass in that too.
Not even that. We've been getting dual citizenship in Europe also, which is shocking.
Yes. But I'm saying there's been a few players that like could go play for Mexico.
Yeah, like Pepe. Yeah.
Pepe, I think Cade Cowell might not have. He's down in Liga MX now, but I thought he had some type of weird thing that he could have played for Mexico. Doesn't know any Spanish. I do know that. But
yeah.
No, it's interesting.
It's just something that, like, we were talking about this before the pod started of, you said it, like, we're exporting, and eventually, like, it'd be great to keep people in MLS and get to that point. But mm-hmm. I think from a World Cup perspective, and every other nation's doing this, is not everyone plays CONCACAF-y, and you need to get used to other different styles of football to be able yeah. to compete at that level. Talent alone is not going to get you there, and I feel like that is what we're doing way better than what Mexico is doing at the moment. That's giving us this edge. Like, I'm probably going to jinx us, but, like, I'm expecting us to beat Mexico until, like, the group we have now, and, like, we'll see what comes up. Like, with the group we have now, like, we should be dominating Mexico for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, without
doubt. I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all. The one of the most telling statistics, too, to show that these Mexican players who are good enough for their national team, and, like, it is a match. Like, it, like, 2-0, dos a cero. It did feel like we dominated a bit and strong-handed them, but it's not – like, we're not just showing up and being able to win. We're not at that point. I don't think anyone on this pod is saying that. The stat that you got to take a look at that really proves that no one's leaving the Liga MX is anytime one of these teams lines up against an MLS team, they beat the shit out of them. Yes, go ahead.
But they're playing them when they're already, like, halfway through their season at the beginning of Champions League and
okay.
2 weeks in. So you're not wrong. But at the same time, like, imagine you guys playing your first game in the Champions League the third week into the season in, like, August. Like, you'd probably win because you're City, but, like, you're not going to look like normal City.
Perfect example is City actually played Copenhagen in their first match in the Champions League, and that was 2 weeks before the regular season starts for Copenhagen. It was not pretty. I get what you're saying. Totally understand.
Just saying. But you're not wrong. I know that, like, the Liga MX, you're saying it so much better than I am. In, like, the proper way, but they dominate us, and eventually MLS will hopefully catch up, but, like, I think there are some nuances there.
Totally. And I think that we could do an entire pod on changing the MLS calendar to make it make more sense, and I think
it works for Japan great. If it works at Japan, then we might be okay.
I think we're down. All right, we want to jump into predictions, put a bow on it. U.S. three-peat for the Nations League. We're dominating CONCACAF. We don't really worry about the Gold Cup. We're sending our C&D team there. It's totally fine. We got big matches coming up against Colombia and I believe against Brazil for friendlies. And then it is Copa America. Dylan, you and I, we're going to get to go see Messi, maybe, hopefully.
I think we're going to see him twice.
Hopefully he plays. That'd be nice.
He's going to play.
Yeah, I know. I was, you know, just, I don't want to, I'm in the middle of interviewing at places. I don't, I'm big non-jinxing right now. I don't have an opinion on anything, right? All right. Team USA, three-peat. Let's jump in to our predictions. Unfortunately, Dylan did not update our doc. So we're just going to go fly through this one and fill it in later. First week back after an international break. There are some decent games, and by decent, I mean it is 1v2-3, whatever we are now as City, with Arsenal and City. Let's lead it off, though. First game of the week, Newcastle hosting West Ham. What's the old adage, Dylan?
I'm going to say Newcastle for the fact that if a team ever needed a break just to actually rest, it was probably Newcastle. So I'm also them at home, and it be coming off an international break. I'm just going to ride that.
The old adage, the only time you bet Newcastle is after an international break, and I'm doing it too. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. Bournemouth hosting Everton. Everton gets a new team down in the relegation scrap with them. Nottingham Forest loses some points. They're out. The Cherries, they're hosting. Who you got?
I'm going to say a tie.
Safe.
I want to take Bournemouth, but, like, if I take Bournemouth – and this would be good for Everton. Like, if that's what will happen, is Everton will all of a sudden, like, be the best team in the Premier League and win 3-0. So I'll take a tie.
I want to keep the vibes going, USMNT. I'm going to go 1-0 Bournemouth, 86th minute. like ball falls out to the top of the 18, cracker, Tyler Adams, first game back.
Do you think he actually plays this week?
Or... Probably not. Probably no shot.
Because if I knew he was going to play, I think that sways my – I would – if Tyler Adams starts, I would like it on the record. I officially changed to Bournemouth.
I like it. I think we should do that. I think there's enough caveats in this group of potting that we should be able to do that. I got Bournemouth. Dylan's got a draw. Chelsea hosting Burnley. You can't possibly pick Burnley, right?
I'm going to take Chelsea.
Possible. Yeah, I'm taking Chelsea.
Which means Burnley's going to win, so congrats.
Yep. Yeah. Forest hosting Palace this game. I don't know why it'd be on TV. It's been a tough year for both these teams, but even tougher for Palace or for Forest lately, losing the 4 points. It's at Forest. Who you got?
International break. I'm going with the home team for a game that I'm not sure about. So we'll take Nottingham Forest. I think there's a lot deduction bump.
I think
that didn't work out for Everton, but it's got to work out at some point.
Yeah, I think that they're going to need it. I think if you're going to get the best version of Forest, you're going to get it at this point because all those players stayed and had to listen to like losing 4 points. I'll go Forest as well. Sheffield, I believe, coming off of a result, a win, maybe. I got to go back and look. They're hosting Fulham. Fulham just announced that they're putting a pool in their new stadium, which, cool. Shout out to the Diamondbacks. Shout out to the Dolphins. Dylan, who you got?
Shout out to the Jaguars. That's
who it is. The owner.
You gotta get it
right. Yeah. Dude, actually that makes total sense.
This was literally the first thing when we did the tour of Craven Cottage that they told us about. So like
we're putting a pool news. In.
They're doing the hotel too. You can actually stay at Craven Cottage when it's all.
Oh my god. Okay.
Which to be honest, we might do. It sounds kind of sick.
The most American thing ever in the Premier League. Love it.
It's right on the Thames. It's perfect. But I'm gonna take Fulham.
Yeah, I got Fulham as well. Spurs hosting Luton. I got Spurs.
I got Spurs too, but I hope Luton fights on.
Same. You always bring this up at key times. Do we have a Spurs push last 9 games?
Yes.
Yes? All right, perfect. Villa, Midlands Derby. Villa hosting Wolves. Who you got?
I'm taking Villa only because I don't know. I have no idea who's healthy on our side at the moment. So I can't confidently even say that the Wolves would if I felt it.
I think I might be taking Villa too, much like you were just talking about a Tottenham push. I feel like Unai is going to try everything he can to get Europa. I don't know if Champions League is actually in the cards, but to stay into Europa and get that, I think that's going to be their big push. Brentford hosting Man United. For those of you that don't know, it's the only game I've ever watched with Nick Tucker at a bar, and Brentford won 18-1. It's at Brentford. Who you got?
I'm gonna take Brentford.
Me too. Just
home
as a troll.
Home team after a national break against an inconsistent team.
I think
they had way more players playing in international break.
We're gonna get to a game later where I like how you're thinking, and I hope that you're right. But yeah, I got Brentford as well. United's an interesting fucking team. I don't know what else to say. Liverpool hosting Brighton. You're getting into the Sunday matches now. 9 a.m. early kickoff. Michael's furious. He's going to be in New York, though, so we're going to watch this at East 11th Street Bar, the Liverpool Bar. Who you got?
Sorry, that was a bad time to sneeze. I'm going to take Liverpool. I think we have a 3-leg horse and they know they have to do a result before what is happening after them.
Yeah. Yeah. I got Liverpool as well. It'll be cool to see Ian and Michael get a dub live in a bar in New York City for the Reds. And then right after that, the big match, City hosting Arsenal. Dylan, you've been mentioning home teams after an international break. What's your thoughts?
I think you guys win. But because I have Arsenal winning it all in our thing, I have to take Arsenal. But I think the logic actually stands true for you guys.
Fair. I got us, obviously. I think it is must win. I will say that. I think it's
not
must win
tie.
For us.
It is a must win.
It is. Yeah, it is a must win. I think you got to beat them. You got to beat them at home. I think that's the key thing. Must win. You got to win at home.
Let's say if Arsenal comes out and they have the same form that they've been playing with before the national break and like just drop like a 4-1 or 5-2 on you, done, not winning it.
I think there's a fork in us, for sure. I do. I'm gonna be on the City podcast on April 11th that was on before, and it'll be an interesting conversation because I have not been impressed with us this year, and they're a bit of an apologist pod. I'm gonna call them out for it. I'm like, we're not been good. Like, yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
It's gonna be realistic, grounded.
Yeah. Dylan, you and I, we live in that world. Nick and Michael, not so much. Anyway, yeah, I got City, big wins. Any surprises this week? You just excited to get the league back on?
I'm just happy to watch again. I'm gonna say there's definitely gonna be surprises because there always is over international break. I feel like this is our predictions are like most of the time when we're really bad.
Yeah.
It's not totally like agree. Also it's March. If there ever it kind of should go with it. So I'm going to say Burnley, Luton, and Sheffield all somehow win this weekend will be what ends up happening. That'd be a fun parlay to throw it on. Just to see.
Love to hear it. All right. Any bets for you? I know we got to jump, but anything you got?
I've got two because, again, I don't trust international break weekends. I always mess it up. But I think every time you guys play, it's City Arsenal. It's one of those big games. I don't think we always get the firecrackers we need, especially in a situation like this. I think it's going to be treated like a final. So I'll be taking under 2.5 in City Arsenal at +110. It also might, like I said, be 4-2, 4-3, but I feel like, especially when you guys play specifically, the past four have been like 1-0 games, I feel like.
Yeah, I think that's good logic.
And then Luton always scores, Tottenham always scores. I think Tottenham wins, so both teams have scored, no draw, -115.
Love to hear it. All right. That is the app. It was a quick app. It'll be nice for the editor, myself, on this one. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke.
What are successful forwards always trying to do? Reach their goals. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.